here on Fat Tuesday. Rick is still on vacation, so is Tim Radley, along with Sarah Exdillon, and sometimes Heather Exdillon, who went out with some friends for lunch.
Yes, she did.
Hero of the day is Velvet. Have you heard about Velvet yet? She's a black Labrador mix. She saved three climbers from sure death after they fell like 500 feet on Mount Hood. Can you imagine just falling like that? And the dog fell too. The rescuer said this, the three climbers are in fairly good condition. And thankfully, they had Velvet to help them stave off the whipping wind and snow, 7,000 feet. And the dog is better off than they are, apparently. She is a black Labrador mix, and I think she had some cuts on her paws. Let me make sure here. I believe so. And then she was patched up and sent home. The three climbers were given warm food and warm clothing before being led down the mountain yesterday with the black lab named Velvet. So, in the past 25 years, 35 fools have died on the mountain, one of the most frequently climbed in the world, and these people just never learn. So hopefully people will just mind their own business and stay home. Velvet has minor cuts and abrasions on her back paws and legs from prolonged exposure to the snow, but she was clear to go home, so she's in the best shape of anyone. Okay, well, today is Fat Tuesday, and are you, Miss Dillon, and your girlfriends going out tonight to paint the town red again?
You know, I don't have any plans. I didn't realize it was Fat Tuesday. I'm going to take, I have to take my sister to the airport this evening, but I'll probably end up going out.
I think so.
How about you? Are you going to do anything?
Let's see. I may stay up a little bit later.
Okay.
I might
wild
go to Starbucks.
And crazy in the Riley household.
That's it. That's the way it is. Portland police will be out in force to crack heads, so nobody better cause any trouble. And they're going to be mostly downtown where all the trouble begins. So if you want to cause trouble, go elsewhere, because that's where all the police are going to be. So that's that. So the video of the day is this Anna Nicole Smith video. Has everyone seen it already?
That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
So here she is, painted up like a clown.
Like, literally, go and look for this. You can't understand unless you have the visual of her entire face painted like a clown.
Mm-hmm. So I have the audio here. And Howard K. Stern is here, and it is reminiscent of that Britney video when Kevin Federline was kind of being condescending with her. Well, he's doing the same thing in this. So she's in clown makeup, obviously, high as a kite. She has a baby carriage with, I guess, a doll in it, and Howard K. Stern is trying to speak with her. So let's see if this works. Everybody in the world is looking at and listening to this right now, so we're taking our chance of public. We'll give it a try here. Let's see what happens. Okay, it should come up here eventually. No, I don't want to. I want to play this. Okay, let's resume. And Brittany is back in rehab. Is that true?
Yes, she's checked into an inpatient facility in L.A. The move came after family members, including her mom, pressed her to check in. She entered the facility.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Here's the video. Anna. This is Howard K. Stern speaking.
Anna, look at me. Riley thinks you've absolutely lost your mind. Riley thinks you've lost your mind. You think she has? Is this a mushroom trip? Is this a mushroom trip?
This is a mushroom trip.
Is this a mushroom trip? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I said this footage is worth money.
This is how it is.
What footage?
The thing you're looking into?
That's
smart. That's unnerving. He sounds so creepy.
He sounds Kevin Federline-ish.
Yes, he does. And he is. He's a little money-grubbing guy.
Okay, I don't know what that was about. Anyway, okay, so let's move along here. We have some other cuts. So the battle over the burial rights for the body of Anna Nicole Smith is underway in a Florida courtroom. Smith's companion and former lawyer, Howard K. Stern, who you just heard, is on the witness stand discussing his relationship with her. Okay, let me, I got to close down TMZ so this plays. Okay, here we go again.
She was my best friend, my lover, the mother of my daughter. Everything to me. I mean, literally everything, the whole world.
And the former model's companion and lawyer is testifying in a Florida hearing to determine who gets the burial rights for her body. Stern wants Smith's body to be buried in the Bahamas.
I was trying to convince Anna that maybe it would be better if Daniel were laid to rest in Los Angeles. And Anna was very firm on the Bahamas was her home. It's where she wanted to raise Daniel, and she wanted Daniel to be near her.
And Howard K. Stern testifies that Smith thought she would die young.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, always thought she was going to die young, and she said that, and she thought that she was going to be like Marilyn Monroe. So she thought she was going to die when, I forget if the age is 36 or 37.
Well, she lived a little bit too long for that. Howard K. Stern testifies that Smith told him to look at burial plots in Los Angeles near Marilyn Monroe's grave and the Bahamas.
We had numerous discussions, and by the time she decided that, when she told me, she said, I am here, and I want my son to be here, and this is where we're going to be. This is home.
He testified he showed pictures of the burial plots where her son eventually was buried.
I had pictures that I showed her, so she picked out the two double plots side by side that Daniel is currently resting in and where she wants to be as well.
Howard K. Stern is being called a murderer. That, according to Stern's attorney, Krista Barth, who took up in court and accused Larry Burkhead's attorney. It's hard to keep these attorneys straight. Who was accusing Larry Burkhead's attorney, Deborah Opry, of accusing her client of murder.
I just can't sit here because Ms. Opry did just make a statement to my client that he actually killed Ms. Smith.
Howard K. Stern's attorney, Krista Barth, asked the judge to make the other attorneys stop commenting to Stern.
It needs to stop because I have to protect him. I can't see it.
No one's going to say anything negative about one another. I need positive vibrations in here.
That's our
what?
Lawyer.
Oh, you got to say that tomorrow for
us. Because I have to protect him. I can't see it.
No one's going to say anything negative about one another. I need positive vibrations in here.
Best trial ever.
Mm-hmm. Now, according to the medical examiner, Dr. Joshua Perper, remember the guy with the Gumby-like head? He spoke at Entertainment Tonight, claiming she is, of course, embalmed, and her body will stay preserved through the legal proceedings now underway.
The body is now well preserved and can be preserved for basically days, weeks, or even months.
I like the music behind him. Meanwhile, Judge Seidlin, that's the crazy guy we just heard from, made it clear that the welfare of the model's child is of primary importance.
But the most important matter in this courtroom is the welfare, the well-being, the stability of this child, Daniel Lynch. I want you to keep that in mind as we proceed.
Okay, so let's get to the paternity suit part. Now, we know this isn't going to be easy. The suit brought by Larry Burkhead continues in Los Angeles. James Nevitt, who represents Howard K. Stern, Daniel Lynn's father on the birth certificate, says the judge did not dismiss the suit as he had hoped.
It's ordering the coroner in Florida, if it has the power, to allow Mr. Burkhead's expert to test Anna Nicole's DNA. And if he says that he doesn't have that power under the Florida court system or the judicial system, he's making that a request to them to do that.
So we have now criminal defense attorney Don Carney. He said it comes down to who is the father of Anna Nicole's 5-month-old baby, Daniel Lynn.
Really what they're fighting about now is which laws will apply to determine the paternity of the child. Mm-hmm. Obviously Howard K. Stern wants it to be in the Bahamas because that law favors his position. Larry Burkhead would want it to be in Florida because those laws favor his position.
So at the moment, it looks like Howard K. Stern will have the right to bury Anna Nicole.
Her will is obviously outdated, so it depends on whether or not she's died intestate without a will. Mm-hmm. And then I would say that it probably does favor him where she's going to be buried, but that really isn't the most important issue right now.
All right.
This is so frustrating.
Well, it's entirely exhausting. So, let's see, we had some other things here. I did. Okay, we had him being called a killer. They were more than friends. Okay. Anna Nicole did not want to be worm food. This is... I'm serious. This is from this morning. We have so many bites here. And so many people listening to them at once.
I was taking a while to load.
It takes a few minutes to load. But anyway, so Howard K. Stern has been on the stand today, and he's been called a murderer. And now, apparently, here he is again.
So then, she wanted me to look into whether, how secure the ground plots were, and whether bugs could get to body because she, both she and Daniel were afraid of bugs.
Oh.
Yeah, so she wanted, she wanted secure cemetery ground plots because she and Daniel were afraid of bugs. And getting into Daniel's coffin, and the one that she might have occupied. So there are no mausoleums available in the Lakeview Cemetery in Nassau for more than two people. So Anna Nicole decided to look into ground plots that will hold more people. So Stern reportedly said that Nicole talked about where they could be buried. Stern also said that Daniel didn't wear a suit in his coffin, and that Anna Nicole wanted to crawl into the coffin with Daniel at the funeral. Court is now in recess.
It's just unpleasant.
That's that. Okay. Well, for now. Well, coming attractions this hour on the Best of the Rich Emerson Show. This is according to Scotty from October 27th of last year. Some of the topics include dust on 80 CDs, Mary and the Platypus, more Duran Duran stuff, and Amanda Pants. We now continue with the Best of the Rich Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Program. Oh, by the way, we found out about Bob Costantini. Amazingly enough, that wasn't our fault or his.
Draw your own conclusions.
We'll be talking to him later on. 1:30 or so, we'll talk to Bob Costantini. Clyde Lewis will be stepping in later on as well. We got Jim Roop from CNN, and we'll be talking to that guy. Man, I forgot his name. Well, the guy who directed anybody important. That guy who directed the, is directing the Night of the Living Dead stage play that's taking place in Beaverton, etc. 503-733-2970. We got two pair of Hotel Midnight. House of Midnight. It's a banner week for me. You guys are fantastic all week. It's just me. I left all my talent at home in a Foot Locker or something.
But it's a lot of material to cover. You got, you know, Beaverton on Broadway and so forth.
All these off Beaverton production.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Bail for you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is the guy accused of bursting into a church, slashing fuel on the parishioners, and setting a fire. And his fellow's name is Kam Shing Chin, known to those closest to him as Daniel Chan. He has spent 5 years in Oregon State Hospital for the murder of his young daughter. He appeared in court today where a Marin County Circuit judge denied him release on bail, saying he's a danger to the community.
It seems like
one murder would peg you as a danger to the community.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that's the sort of thing where they put you in a small room and just keep you there and look at you through a window for the next 30 years. So it was Chan who burst into a church Wednesday night ranting about the blood, running down the aisle pursued by men from the congregation. Laverne Marks stuck out her foot and tripped him. She's a hero here. The Reverend Scott Erickson, pastor of the People's Church, said it was her who saved them all. Two other women injured and a man subdued and arrested. And let's see here. Chan thought he was acting under God's orders. Mental health officials testified he suffers from paranoid schizophrenia, so why not let him out of prison? What harm can he cause?
Well, seriously, who can tell with God?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it... You know what it is?
Well, look who God put in the White House.
I was going to say that God is some sort of a... God really is kind of a celestial Alan Funt in a sort of way.
No, Abraham. No, I want you to kill your son Isaac. No, do it. Watch, look at this. No, I'm gonna make Abraham kill his son Isaac. No, put him on a rock. Sacrifice him to the Lord. Okay, no, track. Don't.
Okay.
I mean, you know, really, it seems like when God tells you to kill somebody, there's like a 50-50 chance that it's a legitimate command.
Who can really tell with that guy? He's wishy-washy, never knows what he's talking about.
Meanwhile, God told a dog to start a fire in Vancouver not once but twice. A Doberman pincher named Victoria has set two fires in Vancouver in the same building the same way by jumping on the electric stove and turning on the burner.
Bad dog.
The fire department said the first one in March didn't cause much damage. The second one caused $100,000 in damage, but it is Vancouver. And the apartment and property belong to the owner. Well, who wrote this? Of course it belongs to the owner. Who else would it belong to? That's what they get for reading things cold. But some 18-year-old intern whose first day on the job.
I never really thought about that. The funny thing is I got
the
exactly
property
by
property
me.
Belong to the owner. Well, of course they do.
Is this the body to whom I am speaking? All right, that's fantastic. I read a great story, not a great story, but a story out of Wisconsin the other day, and the dog ended up surviving, but it was a dog, and they had to go on a rescue, and the dog had passed out from smoke inhalation, blah, 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 because then the dog had hopped up on the stove to get some pizza that had been left behind, like the owner, I'll leave this pizza where it's dangling temptingly over the edge. Dog hops up there, and in scrambling to get to the top of the stove, turns on the oven or one of the burners or whatever, set some paper on fire, house goes up, they catch it, they come in and catch it, and the dog survived. But the funny thing about it is that Laura and I have thought that that's exactly how our dog is going to go. Someday, and we're zen with this, that's exactly how Max is going to go one of these days. He's going to go inadvertently burning the house down or setting some sort of a fire, you know, unleashing aphids and locusts or something, and he'll do it because we'll have left, like, a piece of chocolate on the top of the counter that he'll decide that that's his. He'll, look, a bag of pecans and nails. Maybe I'll eat that. So, yeah, he's attempting fate all the time.
But anyway, Victoria and another dog named Wiley have been rescued. Meanwhile, a woman is recovering.
Page two. All right, then.
But I'm still recovering from the dust from the CDs at that.
You know, but the air over here feels a little cleaner, actually.
My allergies have kicked up the second we walked in here. I didn't sneeze the past couple days, and I've already sneezed three times in here.
The only problem with that other studio, we were at the Movin' 107.5 studios the last couple of days. I'm sorry, the new
There were no problems.
There were flawless.
I loved it. We could all see each other. We had our own space.
We can see each other now.
It was okay. We're all on top of each other in here. That's the thing. And plus,
Can we all reach out and hold hands right now? That's how close we are.
Let's not do it.
Come on.
No, that would be touching.
Yeah.
I don't wish to be touched.
I'm just saying we're close.
Do not look Mr. Riley in the eye. The thing about this studio is bringing guests into the studio is like bringing home a girlfriend when you've got a drunken parent. Do you know what I mean? It's like maybe dad will be fine. Maybe he'll try to grope one of her breasts.
Nick's 107.5 student studio when Joshua Jackson's here. No, but then I'll be farther away from him.
I don't know what's happening here.
I don't understand. Maybe we can tell him that,
well, just tell him you're a slut.
I mean, that's it. We'll just say that you're a slut and you want him to sit on your lap. There you go.
Yeah, we're out of chairs. He's got to share a microphone with
me. Joshua, I'm sorry. There are no stools. You will be obliged now to sit on Sarah's lap during the entire interview. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Let's get the promotional crew started on it then.
Susan Reynolds, please be covering the windows.
We need to title
some sort of black material so that no one can see in.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember this? Do you remember, actually, when we were first moving to the Entercom building? Or what is currently the Entercom building, but which will soon not be the Entercom building.
Oh, you were so happy when you heard that.
I was not.
apparently.
We lost our lease. Everything must go. Even the fixtures. Apparently,
this is just speculation. Have you heard it?
A rumor that I've heard. But it was
maybe they're expanding the dining room at the Spaghetti House.
This is from a well-placed source. This is something we heard. This may or may not be true.
It's a true rumor.
Yes, it is true.
Rumor of truth.
I don't know that it's true.
See, but that source is pretty reliable.
See, if we keep doing this, we muddy the waters enough that nobody knows what the hell we're talking about. So it's absolutely true speculation. Rumor that might be true, and is, that it's a thing we're musing.
Oh, he shaved off the porn stash.
You can't say things like that with no context.
I'm sorry. He surprised me. Caught me off guard.
All right. The porn stash. No, my point is that we heard from a well-placed source this absolutely true, 100% accurate speculation and rumor that Entercom has been evicted from their office down by the river. So, there you go. Sometimes miracles do happen. So, anyway.
They only need one studio anyway.
I was just going to say, but how much room could those computers really take up? You know what I mean? Your entire air staff fit inside computer tower, 1 foot high. We're just going to have a tent somewhere.
Well, just, you know, stack six bread boxes on top of each other.
Well, we do hope it doesn't affect our friends who still work there.
Oh, that's true.
And who's that exactly?
Gustav and Flynn.
Oh, no, that's true. I'm sorry.
Those guys.
I apologize. No, that's true. That's true. We do. I'm sorry. I'm just so used to hating everybody.
No. There are actual people inside of that machine.
Okay. Well, in any event.
We wish the best for all of you guys.
Yes.
There are some zany people over there. Mary and the Platypus of Reverend Disney. Morning, Jim.
Mary and the Platypus. I don't even know what you're saying. And that Charlie guy, too. I hope he, hello. I don't even remember what we're talking about
here. We started talking about this this renegade deer who attacked the Oregon woman, but we didn't make it past the first sentence.
Hey, but can I just tell you this? You want to give you one of the headlines of space?
I guess it can wait.
Space.com, which is an entire news site about space stories and stories from NASA.
We're always interested in such things.
I swear to God, today's lead headline, Uranus has a dark spot.
I could quite Lewis warned us of that some time ago.
Okay, I'm sorry, Timmy. I just had to say that. Here you go. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, a woman is recovering from a deer attack alongside a busy Oregon highway. It happened as Annie Saunders walked out to the mailbox at Sunwest Spas on Highway 224 near Woodburn. She says she spotted the friendly antlered buck that was walking toward her. He walked over to me, knocked me down, and attacked me with his antlers and feet. The deer kept pinning her down as he slashed and stomped her until two men in a passing car stopped, and jumped out, and pulled the deer off her. It ran away, and Saunders went to the hospital for treatment. She has deer gouges in her stomach and legs. The deer is described as an adult buck with an unbranched antler on the left side and a
forked
antler on the right.
Okay.
It was last seen heading toward a bushy area.
Okay. There's a whole bunch of things in that story that are inexplicably hilarious to me.
Somebody took a picture of this deranged deer. He looks like he would kill someone or set a church on fire or something.
Is this the same deer that was attacking Cox last week? This week? Whenever that was?
Oh, yeah.
No. This is the deer in the bushes.
This is not the same deer that was attacking Cox.
No. That was another state.
Okay.
Okay. Dave, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
You got that flat spot on top of your head. It's about 6 inches wide. I can recommend a perfect barber for a flat top.
No, well, that's really what I'm going to have. It's not a flat top so much as it is, because down the middle, it's about like 6 inches wide. Imagine a highway. Imagine this. Imagine a road that is bordered on either side by a lot of, like, overgrown foliage. That's what my head is like right now. It's like a lot of, we've got the hairs long around the sides and, like, the sideburn area. But then on top, it's very closely cut. It's just, like, imagine if I shaved your head completely down and then I came back in about 2 weeks. That's what it looks like in the middle. But I got to take the hair on the other side down as well, or I'm just going to continue to look like, Jim from Taxi, and that's no way to live. Just a way for a man to walk around. My hair is all crazy. You know, I don't want to do that.
Who remembers Jim from Taxi?
Me. That's all that matters.
Me.
Things that are amusing to me in court. That's all that matters.
Yes.
So there you go, Dave. Okay, there you go.
Worth holding.
Tim Riley. He's in the Ministry of Truth.
Duran Duran's Andy Taylor has quit the band during the U.S. leg of their world tour.
Duran Duran has quit the band?
Mm-hmm.
Was he issuing unreasonable demands?
The guitarist, Andy Taylor.
My friend Amanda Pants is obsessed with Duran Duran.
Is that a real name?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Name.
Well, who knows? I mean,
she's obsessed with Duran Duran. I saw her at the bar last night drinking profusely because she was so upset about it.
That's fantastic.
It was pretty damn funny.
No, that is great. Really?
Really. Like, so much so, I'm sorry, Amanda Pants, that she's been removed from...
She's been removed from
what? She's known to be a Duran Duran fan, to Duran Duran.
That's so great. But you said so much so that she's been removed what?
I don't know. She should call in. I've just heard...
No, you said it. It was just you were laughing, and I couldn't understand it.
Come on. I guess since she is such an excitable fan, she has maybe been asked to leave a concert or two.
She's been kicked out of a Duran Duran. What do you have to do to get kicked out of a Duran Duran concert? Amanda, and please gotta be calling.
Yes, please call Amanda, because I'm pretty sure this is true.
Well, you know, Scott Downey's got a Duran Duran tattoo.
I know.
On his body, right next to the Reservoir Dogs tattoo. It doesn't make any sense. I see Duran Duran is one of those bands that it's not just that I didn't appreciate, and I still really don't appreciate them. I'm not saying that I don't respect them. They seem like a fine band. But I'm saying I couldn't sing you, like, that's how you would stump me. Like, you would give me, you don't have to sing it, Sarah, but, like, give me a Duran Duran lyric. Just like a snatch of a lyric.
But I won't cry for yesterday. That's an ordinary world. Somewhere I
love. See, and I wouldn't even know how to finish that. I would know nothing. I am just so inept when it comes to 80s, like synth pop and all that stuff.
But so it's not that I don't respect them. I mean, I understand that they
If we were back to the other city, we'd be playing them right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, here's the thing about Duran, and I don't want to get sidetracked by talking about this, because I know this is exactly the kind of topic that overgrows this entire program like a fungus. This is exactly the sort of thing that we will get in the way, and we will never get anything else done. So we're talking Duran for the rest of the day.
So, well, a lot of people might enjoy that.
I guess maybe it is, I guess Duran to me, and again, I say this with no acrimony. Duran to me is like, what's a good example? I don't know, like, Poison or Winger or somebody, one of those 80s bands, you know, those hair bands is to other, like Cinderella. Duran is to, that's what it is. Duran is to me the way that, like, Cinderella is to other people. Because, you know, there's people who, they love to smirk and they turn up their noses at all the so-called hair metal from the 80s. And they're like, well, all those groups are the same. They all look the same. They all sound the same. But which is not true. Not to me, anyway. And not to people who are kind of fans of that type of music. I was talking to Dean Snyder about this the other day. Dean Snyder, who's the general sales manager for this very fine radio station.
Oh, now we know who it is.
Sister station. I'll put him out to you. Our sister station, KUFO. He was emailing me the other day. He's like, dude, don't forget to play some Hanoi Rocks. Don't forget to play some Trickster. Don't forget to play Danger. And all of those bands kind of sound the same if you're not into it. So it is with Duran. And again, I don't mean any slight on Duran. Please don't spare me all the hate mail. I'm not trying to bust on your favorite band. I'm saying, for me, from my perspective, I could not tell Duran apart from the Thompson Twins, from Human League, from Erasure. It all drifts together for me. I mean, because I just never listened to it. And furthermore, not only that, but I did not realize, and only now do I learn this with the people around me, I did not realize how into Duran people were. I have met more people in the last 5 years that are not just casually into Duran. I mean, there's people, I have met people who are into Duran the way that I am into, like, Kiss. There is a woman, I probably shouldn't say who she is, but there's a woman who works in the office who is a Duran freak. And I mean, this is a woman, she's very successful in her professional life. She's very attractive. Great, you know, all of that. You know, a very full existence. The highlight of her life has been the fact that she got backstage to meet whatever his name is, Andy Taylor or whatever. And there's a photo on a MySpace, her MySpace picture of her backstage with Duran. And the caption is like, best moment of my life. You know, Scott Daly has a Duran tattoo. Amanda Pence weeping into her gin and tonic or whatever because some guy with a guitar left the band. I'm not making fun of it. And you know that I'm not.
Oh, my.
Because you know that I respect musical fandom.
No, and I'm not making fun of her either. I just, yeah, it was just a humorous
thing. I want to be very clear to the people, though. Fandom is a beautiful thing. It really is. It's a beautiful thing to be a fan, and I mean that sincerely. I do not mean that in a smirky, snarky kind of way. So you know that I respect people who are really into music. I'm just saying, who knew, you know? So as it was, it's like a whole other world unfolding before.
Another world? Why, that's another one of their hits.
Is it?
Oh, Ordinary World.
I'm so
see, I got nothing.
I think you did that on purpose. Here it is. Amanda, hello.
Hi.
Amanda Pants.
I'm sorry for your loss.
It's okay. I'm getting over it.
So who left Duran?
Andy Taylor. He was the original guitar player.
And so why did he leave? Are they creative differences?
That's what the email said, yes.
Yes. The email from Andy that he sent you? This he sent you because you're... Hey,
Amanda, are you in the fan club?
I was when I was a kid, but I'm not...
Are you on his MySpace?
I'm not. I am on the official Duran MySpace.
That's where all that is. Okay. That's good enough.
So, Amanda, I'm sorry for outing you, but was I right?
I was upset. I don't know if I was crying into my...
I know, it was exaggerated.
Here,
but no, but about the concert.
Have you been kicked out of a Duran concert?
I have.
For what behavior, exactly?
For standing on a chair to take a picture, like, from the third row or something.
Well, that seems unduly harsh.
Yeah, granted, I was in Spokane, which I flew up to Spokane to visit friends / go to the show.
What venue?
The Opera House, I believe.
Spokane Opera House. I've seen many fine press. I've seen a bunch of comics there, too. But, yeah, that's how you guess.
Who has an opera house in Spokane? For what reason?
Not really for opera. That's the irony,
of course. Is that busy barking?
Because it's Spokane. Yeah. Because it's Spokane, it's never used for opera. That's where I saw Sam Kinison right before he died, actually. So,
yeah, it was a little harsh. And it was, like, 10 degrees outside. And they were like, get out.
I'm sorry.
Maybe that's horrible.
It might have been the nice and cheer in Spokane, and somebody just wanted to preserve it.
Well, I got to tell you, Duran Duran is one of those bands that, again, I never knew that there was such a colossal fan club. Because here's the thing, is to people on the outside of any sort of a musical interest group like that, if you are on the outside of the community that is into that type of music, here's another example. Like, Lara listens to a lot of it's a lot of really too witty for its own good sort of guitar pop. And when I say that, I mean it's like a lot of Bare Naked Ladies and a lot of like They Might Be Giants and Too Much Joy and Violent Femmes and all this stuff. And it's like, and I don't mean it as disrespect, it's like I cannot tell one of those bands from another. I mean, I just barely got to the point where I could tell the Indigo Girls apart from like Nancy Griffith or the insert other chick clutching an acoustic guitar. It is kind of a cool thing to see. And so I'm sorry that your guy left Duran Duran.
It's
trying not to.
Okay. I've seen them together and
how many times have you seen Duran Duran?
They'll never be together again, Amanda.
Just make her cry.
Okay. Well, the thing is that my cell phone is totally blowing up right now. Sorry. The thing is that I never got to see them when I was a kid, when they were the original five members. And then when they got back together, as now that I'm an adult and I got to see them, that's fine.
You can check it off your list of things to do.
Yeah, I've flown to L.A. and drove to San Francisco, actually.
Are you a little crazy?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just checking.
I'm perfectly comfortable with my obsession. Better to be obsessed with her.
No,
that's why I felt comfortable calling her up, because if Amanda Penn's dating, she's comfortable with who she is.
No, it's fine. You know what? And again, I have no problem with that. I flew to Los Angeles last year just to see Alice Cooper. So, yeah. We're together. We're peas in a pod.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, sister.
Hey, no problem.
All right. There you go. There's Amanda.
I love that girl.
Right,
Scott Daly just wrote me and he said that we can discuss the topic further when he comes in.
Oh, great.
Lucky us.
Well, fantastic.
You know what? I love Scott Daly forever for the Joshua Jackson interviews. I respect my comments.
You gotta be nice to him.
I'm sorry, Scott.
You'll cancel it. I'm sorry, Ginger. Have you been reading the emails back and forth about Joshua Jackson?
We get to go see the movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we get to go to the screening of Bobby the night beforehand. And then Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek. And I've talked to a lot of guys here whose wives are all about that. So we are going to have, like, every woman who works here of a certain age and, like, every wife of every guy who works here, they're all going to be dropping by the studio. And yet you will be sitting right there in his lap conducting the interview, Sarah Dillon.
I thought he was sitting in mine.
Well, whatever.
Tina Yonder
is the other celebrity.
Stool.
The celebrity queen's nose stool. Fantastic. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Remarks by Vice President Cheney, giving his blessing to interrogation techniques, have caused a flap.
Rick Emerson is prepared.
I looked out of the corner of my eye, there it is.
Well, this isn't like yesterday where they had to be drugged down the street by, like, oxen in a cart.
It takes, like, 2 hours.
I have your sound bites on the stone tablets. What would you like me to do with them?
Yeah. President Bush was asked about that, Mr. Cheney, during a White House photo op with NATO's General Secretary.
This country doesn't torture. We're not going to torture.
No, of course
we will. Interrogate people we pick up off the battlefield to determine whether or not they've got information that'll be helpful to protect the country.
And by the way,
he obviously has no idea what's going on.
I'm reading these words off the page. I do not understand what these characters say. I do not understand the content of this sentence that I'm reading,
except even I sound like way more lucid than he does. By the way, it should be, I was reading this article yesterday, and this is not some crazy whacked out publication. I think it was the Washington Post, I think, were saying that that we got all pissed off at the Japanese after World War II because the Japanese were waterboarding. And waterboarding, by the way, waterboarding is a really deceptive term.
It's kind of skateboarding on the water, isn't it?
What it is it's sort of Salem witch trial, isn't that what it is? It's a lot of like, we're going to tie you to a stick and hold your head underwater until your lungs begin to fill. Let us know when this becomes uncomfortable.
Did Boris Karloff ever do anything like this?
That's kind of what it is. And it's exactly what the Japanese did to American soldiers during World War II, which apparently was not fine then. Now, damn skippy.
Police are looking for a robber whose disguise was a rubber mask of President Bush. The victim, Charles Gardner, told police he was on the front steps of his home in Connecticut
When the robber, using a phony Texas accent, demanded money at gunpoint, Gardner said he turned over $1,000 that he just cashed from his Social Security check.
All right. We should take a break here, and we will come back. We've got more on the way. What is coming up? We have Jim Roop coming up from Los Angeles. Later on, we have Scott Dowdy, who's going to be here. Clyde Lewis will be stepping in as well. Bob Costantini, more from Tim Riley. Nicole Richie wants you to eat a goddamn sandwich, and we'll have you finish that 80s butt rock lyric for House of Midnight tickets. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. Make it a part of your listening day. And that is Jim Roop on hold, I believe. It's fine. He can hear us. He's a pro. Scariest songs of all time. Scott Daly's going to be here. We'll talk about the horror flicks, etc. as we're coming up on Halloween. What else? We'll be talking to that guy who's putting on the Night of the Living Dead stage play. And I never did play the Silence of the Lambs thing for that guy last hour. That guy was like, well, there's a Silence of the Lambs musical. And I was like, you'd be listening.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's going
to
play that song.
In 6 minutes, I'll play it. Like an hour and a half later. We'll get to all of that. And here comes the Duran Duran hate mail. I'm not trying to bust on Duran Duran, you sons of bitches. I'm just saying. Here's one. Tom Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from Los Angeles. Jim Roop from CNN Radio. Hello, sir.
How are you, sir?
I am okay. I am really okay. And is there any good news? And is there a big fire that's going on out there? They got anything under control at all?
No, not yet. They haven't been able to get up there and really map anything yet either, simply because the winds are so strong that the mapping plane can't get out there. It has to fly very low and slow, and it can't do that with all the winds going on.
And so when they say it's arson, do they use this interchangeably with sort of, you know, some nitwit leaves a campfire going?
No. This was deliberately set. There is no evidence of a lightning strike, no evidence of a car backfire or a construction site that may have thrown a spark into some dry brush. The forensics that they have and the science that they have determined it is deliberately set.
Oh, boy, you know, whoever this is just needs to be put in a room and beaten with a hose.
That's what I'm talking about.
Seriously. And hopefully not been any additional fatalities since yesterday?
Well, no. The we just got an update on the firefighter's condition that's in the hospital now. He's a 20-year-old kid, really. It's like his second season doing this. And he is responding to some treatment. They may be able to get him into surgery today. His condition is still very critical, but at least he's responding to some respiratory stuff.
Here's a question, and I mean, this probably varies from state to state, but I actually think about this a lot. If you are a firefighter, and you are either, you know, injured badly enough, you can't go on in that job, or you lose your life doing this, if you get taken care of for the rest of your life, your family, the way you would if you were a cop, is it kind of the same deal?
Yeah, they got the same kind of thing going on, but you know, you never want to have to really go through that.
Sure, obviously. It's just it's one of those things. We do have a tradition in this country of kind of not necessarily, I mean, as we see with the military right now, not necessarily taking care of folks the way that we ought to.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's always good to hear that this guy's going to be taken care of. I won't keep it very long. I know this really just kind of got you very busy today. But real quickly, I wanted to touch on, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't misreading something here. Is it possible that Snoop Dogg has been arrested a second time within the space of like 4 days?
That's what I hear. Here's a restaurant right here, right where I live, around in Burbank, at the airport there. I guess he was going through security. They determined he had a gun on him, so he was arrested.
Look, here's the thing is, I'm no genius, and I'm no travel expert or anything, but look, I've been through Burbank itself enough to know that if there's one place, A, you're going to stand out of your Snoop Dogg, and B, a place where you probably want to obey all the regulations, it's Burbank. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like being in Salt Lake City and being Snoop Dogg carrying a gun. Just a bad idea. And you would think that, I mean, I hate to just use the lowest common denominator humor here, but I mean, how high do you have to be carrying a gun in the Burbank, especially if you're this guy. I mean, it's not like he's not going to get through without a pat down. Let's be honest.
Yeah. It's a pretty dumb thing, you know. And you would think his handlers, you know he's got people around him.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that they would at the very least say, dude, what you got in your pocket?
Seriously,
you
know? I mean, wouldn't you have a guy in the payroll whose sole job was to carry all the gun, so he's the one who gets beaten by the guards?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, I'll tell you what, if I ever became famous enough, I'm going to have a guy in my entourage, and his sole job is to just carry a whole bunch of stuff that I don't want to be seen holding. If I have to buy a giant dildo somewhere, he's going to carry it for me, you know?
Yeah.
So just pay with it. By the way, and on a very stressful, difficult day, I'm going to give you a little bit of levity here. This is an entirely true story, which I have told before. People know this is a true story. I once worked at a radio company that also employed Snoop Dogg to do a weekend radio show.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. And I did my show out of the studio during the week, and then on, like, alternate Saturdays, I think it is, or like once a month maybe on Saturday, he would fly in from L.A., he would record a month's worth of radio programs in my studio. Anyway, long story short, there was a guy in his entourage who was paid $2,500 a week, and the guy's sole job was to have a joint ready whenever Snoop would ask for one.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. It is true. I was there. It's not like a friend of a friend. I mean, it was there. And the guy's sole job, Snoop, and this is what he would say. Snoop would say, yo, cuz, blunt me. And the guy would go, here you go, Snoop. And like right there. And that was the guy's sole, and also presumably, though, to be carrying so that if they got busted by the cops, it's on this guy and not on Snoop.
Yeah.
So also, Snoop, he blends his weed in a food processor.
Really?
It is completely true. In a little osterizer. There you go. The more you know, Jim Roop.
I guess you can get more between the paper that way.
I would imagine so, and maybe a smoother draw.
That's exactly right.
I'm just speculating, though, because as a journalist, I don't know about these things.
No, but so. I have researched. let's just say. Never mind.
Knowing is half the battle, Jim. All right, brother. Well, enjoy your weekend, and hopefully we can get this fire.
Too much smoke out here as it is.
I was going to say, hopefully we can get that thing under control. So try to have as stress-free weekend as you can, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you, sir, very much.
There you go. Thank you. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, in Southern California. Fantastic. All right, there you go. In mere seconds, Tim Riley will be rejoining us here in the studios of AM 970. Let's see. Now I'm just getting all of this Duran Duran mail. Rick. This email says, subject line of this email is just WTF! And then like 5 exclamation marks. Rick, the band of bands, the greatest band to exist ever! And you can't tell the almighty Duran Duran from the Thompson Twins. What's next? Can you not tell the difference between Transformers and GoBots? Shame! Shame, Rick Emerson! And then he said, shame! Shame, shame, shame. You are shamed in my eyes forever. All right. Sorry, man. I'm doing what I can here. All right.
Let's have Scott Daly bring in some Duran Duran. We can play some bumps.
See, and I wouldn't... that's the thing. I think I really only know... I think I really only know Hungry Like a Wolf. I think that's it. I think it's the... all right. Well, we're not bringing Clyde in yet. We're going to have to do it. We'll do that a little bit after one. So let's bring in Tim Riley. Now back to the Rick Emerson studio, to the Ministry of Truth. Here's what's coming up then at 1 o'clock. We'll be talking to this guy who's directing the Night of the Living Dead stage play. And then later on in the 1 o'clock hour, Clyde Lewis will be here. And he'll be counting down the top 5 scariest songs. And then we've got Scott Daly here as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley rejoins us for the Ministry of Truth.
We just gave Clyde that little turnover. It'll be in a few minutes.
Don't feed the Clyde.
It's like a discovery.
Please do not tap on glass.
Yeah.
Well, transforming Iraq is a complex and enormous difficult task, says Donald Rumsfeld, who apparently still has a job. And what makes things so good in Iraq? Well, it's because the U.S. and Iraq continue to talk with each other.
The United States, in the persons of our ambassador and the embassy and General Casey and his team, have been, over a period of time, in continuous discussions with the Iraqi government at various levels. And they've been discussing the way forward through the rest of this year and next year.
Do you get the idea that George Bush speaking to the Iraqi government is sort of like Senior Wences just sitting there talking to his hand?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are we going to do?
We're going to stay the course, Mr. President.
Well, what are we going to do with the terrorists?
We will hunt them down.
When we stay the course, how are we going to...
We will find Osama bin Laden.
That's really what... That's a lot funnier if you can see me talking to my hand.
That was humorous.
Oh, if only it was television.
No, Ben Affleck, no!
with Cartman.
You need to draw eyes on your hand.
I'll do it.
Look more lifelike.
I'll do it right now.
Wait, hold on. Let's stop the show while we do this.
Hold on.
We can't live without Rick drawing eyes on your hand.
There you go.
Now that is
then they could say something.
What are we going to do with Iraq?
We are going to stay the course, Mr. President.
I should give the hand its own microphone. Wait, hold on. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, come on. It's all fine. Never mind. You've ruined the moment. All right. Here's.
So what's the problem in Iraq, really? Well, Donald Rumsfeld says it's all because of the press.
Says Donald Rumsfeld.
Number three.
This soundbite right there.
I find almost every day I see all kinds of mythology repeated in the press day after day of things that never happened. It's unbelievable.
All these shootings and bombings.
All this war and discord and death.
It's really not the side streets where flowers are being thrown at the troops.
It's really all a fever dream in the mind of an autistic boy.
Well, firefighters are continuing to battle today's wildfire in California. It's always serious because, well, it takes place in California. Happened in Iowa, nobody cares. Meanwhile, outside of Palm Springs, Sonny Bono's widow is very concerned about this fire.
I am very concerned about this fire.
Okay.
Beyond belief to understand that somebody could deliberately set a fire and that it would take human life. Certainly four of our U.S. Forest Service firefighters and a fifth one clinging to life. It's beyond comprehension to know that someone would deliberately set this fire.
As Congresswoman Mary Bono, the widow of Sonny Bono.
Let's skip the Sonny Bono joke. Beneath me. Ryan, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hello.
You were talking about going to the airport with the gun. And
indeed I was. Eddie Van Halen had that same thing happen to him a couple years ago. Carried a big-ass loaded gun right in his pants, right in the plane.
Well, I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, Damon Steinbrenner got stopped at the airport because he had caught in tinfoil and they caught it going into the metal detector.
Yeah, I mean,
so
really.
I was metal.
Celebrity. So I didn't know tinfoil's made of tin. Celebrities are just not the brightest people on earth. I mean, you just live yourself in a bubble, lay your life in a bubble, and it just makes your brain all soft and sponge-like. It really is true. So.
It was rumored that he heard from Rasheed Wallace that the tinfoil helps hide the smell of the dog.
No, what does help, though, is if you wrap it in foils in those, like, perfume strips that you get from the middles of magazines. No, seriously. If you want to foil dope-sniffing dogs, that's what you do. You take perfume strips out of the middle of like a Playboy magazine or a Marie Claire magazine, wrap your weed in that, and the FedEx dogs can't smell it. So I'm told.
Good to know.
All right, thank you. And knowing is half the battle. There you go, that's Ryan. Here's Tim Riley.
Dave Lyons, Sandusky, Ohio.
Fantastic.
This town along
Lake... Let me settle in for a gripping story. Hold on.
Okay. This town along Lake Erie wants to be known for its perch sandwiches. Perch is a fish. A program within the National Trust for Historic Preservation that promotes downtown revitalization is considering a national menu that would highlight the city's signature dishes. Every restaurant in Sandusky says it has the best perch sandwich in town.
Is there sound?
Now this. No.
Oh, okay.
They don't have anything to record sound. That's working.
And they just have to, like, relay it via the telephone game from there to us.
And this is in downtown where?
Soldering iron.
Sandusky, Ohio. In the main belt of America.
I was going to say the main dish is just a bowl of dirt. Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. Goes great with milk.
In an ironic twist of events, NBC and the CW television network refuse to air ads from the documentary focusing on freedom of speech.
Well, there you go.
They've taken a stand against the Dixie Chicks new documentary, Shut Up and Sing. And behind the scenes, look at the incredible political and media fallout that occurred in 2003.
Now, is this a theatrical release? Is that what this is? Okay, it's not going to be on TV. It's not like a direct-to-DVD thing. It's going to be in the theaters.
It's in theaters.
Which I've heard is really good.
Now.
Yeah,
in New York, anyway.
The advance word on this Dixie Chicks documentary is very good. They're going to be here, by the way. I found out it was November. It's the day after Joshua Jackson Day. So it'll be, what, the 9th?
Mm-hmm.
Is he on the 8th? Yeah.
He's on the 8th.
Because there was somebody here at the CBS that bought tickets and I can't go.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the tickets were for sale or whatever. And anyway, but yeah, so November 9th, the Dixie Chicks are going to be here.
NBC responded to a clearance report submitted by the Weinstein Company's media agency saying the network cannot accept the response as they are disparaging to President Bush.
Yeah, heaven forfend. By the way, you can see them on my website today. Excellent.
The CW television network responded it does not have appropriate programming.
At all, probably. I was just going to say, because everything there is just an infomercial for one sort of a slicing machine or another at this point. with in the Smallville reruns. That's really all that's on. I couldn't, other than the Gilmore Girls, you put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you what's on the CW. Look, I don't mean to disparage other broadcasters. Well, that's him, man. Like the highest rated thing they've got. You talk about a completely and spectacularly unsuccessful and failed marketing campaign.
Are you talking about CW?
Yeah.
America's Next Top Model is on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, is that the one with Fatty Tyra Banks?
Yes.
Is it Tyra or Tyra?
Tyra.
All right. Let's talk about Tyra Banks.
Well, my girlfriends and I get together and watch it. We drink a couple bottles of wine and watch America's Next Top Model every week.
And when you say bottles, are they square bottles?
No.
Okay.
They're a $2
check. What is the...
We usually have like about five of them.
When was the last time you drank wine from a box? This year?
No, probably not. I think probably college.
Really?
I drink cheap wine, though.
That stuff is really fattening, by the
way. How about Amanda Pants?
Wine in a box.
I think Amanda Pence watches it, too. We don't watch it together.
She can't leave the bar anymore. She's too sad about Duran Duran.
How about Kiki?
Kiki watches it sometimes.
What's Kiki's favorite drink? I'm going to make a note of it.
Kiki likes Tic Tacs.
Is that like liking a matchy banana?
It's like some orange.
Well, they're easier to dial than Altoids, I suppose.
Tic Tacs. All right.
You can buy Kiki a Tic Tac next time you see her.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, absolutely. I'm going to buy Kiki a drink because she's a fine woman. That's right. You hear me. A private message from me to you.
You're so creepy.
Not from me to Kiki.
Oh.
I'm sorry. We should... I don't even want to explain what that's about. But I've got this. Now, here's the thing about this Tyra Banks story. Is there a picture of her on your website?
Oh, she was the one with the weird armpit.
Okay, it's not
and the mustache.
Okay, but now it's not so much the weird armpit, it's the fact that she's...
She's huge!
she is.
Seriously, we could not stop talking about it.
Suit. I thought it was fake.
And then last week, she was wearing this dress where, like, it's gray, but then there's a white going down the front of it to make it look like she's thinner, but really she's, like, popping out of the armhole.
Really, she looks like a road?
She looks awful. She's like, I just don't see that you have model...
Honorable King of the Moment.
You didn't have a cheesecake. Go home.
You don't have what it takes to be on the runway.
Here's the thing. I'm going to read this article. If you're a fan of Tyra Banks, host of America's Next Top Model, the Tyra Banks Show, is there a Tyra Banks Show?
Yes, it's on in the morning. It's
so
awful.
It's an oxygen, isn't it?
I've seen it. I've had it on in my room. I don't have cable. I think it was on, like, Channel 5 or 4.
They had to just have a show that's just...
Yeah.
A show that's just a camera inside her refrigerator, so you can see her leaning in several times a day to eat Little Debbie snack cakes. You've probably noticed the former supermodel has gained some weight, which I believe is sort of an understatement. On last night's episode of Top Model, the previously svelte Banks was looking particularly plump in a strapless mini dress, really?
It was awful. She looked so bad.
Maybe they just couldn't see the straps. Maybe they were consumed by her soft chocolate flesh. Executives at the CW network have noticed. I love this. They make it seem like it's some well-kept secret. Executives at the CW network have noticed her weight gain as well, as though it's a thing that, like, maybe the rest of us have. It's gone underneath the radar. According to MediaTakeout.com, they're worried Tyra's fuller figure may affect Top Model's ratings and have told her to lose weight. Tyra still looks good. Do you know how much weight she's put on?
50 pounds.
50 pounds,
sounds like
baby.
Having a spare tire.
Spare Tyra. Genius. Wait, that absolutely requires the, with the hole and the, All right. Things are really getting out of control. I mean, listen to this. This is what you want to hear a guy at your network say. Things are really getting out of control. I mean, she doesn't have the greatest personality, so if she starts getting too heavy, it could be a real problem. Fantastic.
Yeah, like the PR department over there.
Well, imagine if this show, not that this would ever happen, but if suddenly this show just began to suck uncontrollably. Well, Rick's not the best looking man, so if he loses that weight, it's all over. Tyra's weight has become such an issue with Top Model bosses, they've insisted the promotional pictures of the former model be photoshopped. Says one source, when you see Tyra next to the girls on the show, you realize how much weight she's put on. It's almost ridiculous. Let's see, the decision goes against Banks' recent declaration she would not. Isn't she the one? Didn't Tyra Banks do that famous layout in, like, Jane or one of those magazines where she
It was like a make-under where they showed her all made up, and then she took off the makeup step by step to show, like, what she really looked like.
Yeah, well, she's done that on her foiling talk show, like, three times now.
Yeah,
too.
That's like her one shtick.
She's like, let me tell you my beauty secrets. And she gives everyone a tub of Vaseline and screams like a banshee. She's insane.
My beauty secrets are contained within this box of Cool
Whip. That's the only thing. I watched a clip of it on YouTube where she's like, in this box. Beauty tip, and she gave everyone jars of Vaseline.
It's lard.
She's a nut.
Tyra will have to act fast to lose the extra pounds if she can hope to continue as the host of Top Model. The insider tells Mediateka that if she does not manage to get back in her old figure, she would be replaced for the next season. So there you go. But here's the thing about it is, you go to SarahXDillon.com, and there have apparently been pictures. You can find it on any of the gossip sites. They have pictures. I thought it was like a fat suit. I mean, look, and I'm no model. Let's just be clear about that right now. I am not an attractive man by most conventional standards.
But when Tyra is giving Achul weight advice,
that's the thing. I'm not on a program called America's Not Type Next Top Model where I do nothing but ridicule aspiring models.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, you need to maybe cut down on the carbs and doing this stuff, sure. And this woman doesn't even fit in her dress.
Seriously, I think that the model should have to subsist on a diet of Tyra Banks for the next month and a half.
Eat just what Tyra eats.
Literally, just eat Tyra. Just eat wedges of Tyra. Then everybody wins. But you see, I thought that it was like, because you know they'll do those gags, like, where they get some size one hot chick. I wanted to learn sympathy and compassion and to learn that beauty is on the inside. So I wore a fat suit around town, and I was astounded and astonished at the different way that I was treated. I found out that people judge others by the way they look, and when people thought that I was heavier, I was not treated with the same respect. And I think that we can all learn a lesson from this.
I think that's something for the talking hands.
Today, I learned that we are all the same inside, and that even though one of us may look different than another,
this is what's known as theater of the mind. This is medium is bad.
I wish that there was a webcam on Sarah's face so you could see her reaction. My hand needs a name.
Tim above that.
What are we going to name my hand?
I was asking for the hand.
The hand has to have...
Lolita.
Oh, I like that. She needs a little hair, though.
Is it a woman?
She does need some hair.
Yeah. Is it a woman? I thought it might just be an immigrant.
It's an immigrant woman.
Okay.
Could I have a weekend talk show? I would like to stalk you in the lobby for weeks on end until you break down and give me a tedious program no one will listen to.
Sarah's putting a piece of tissue on my hand, and now it's like a veil. If you could see my hand, Sarah, take a picture of my hand.
Okay,
I want you to take a picture of my alter ego, which is my hand.
Which is lovely, Dad.
Which is now wearing a wedding veil. This is going to be funny once you see the picture. It'll all make sense.
Taking
a picture, hold on.
Okay, I'm getting it. Okay.
There we go. Sarah's gonna post a picture of Lolita on the website wearing a veil.
This is the happiest day of my life.
What was my point?
Are you on drugs?
No, I should be. I still got Vicodin left over and Valium. Who wants some? No. Okay.
Just being here is enough for me.
this is all the happiness you need. But when I saw that picture of Tyra Banks, I thought that it was like one of those, you know, I hate whatever. The black like me thing that guy did in the 50s where he pretended to be black for like a month and he wrote a book about it. And that's been endlessly ripped off, like homeless like me and fat like me and whatever.
Tyra's done the fat suit one too.
That's what I'm saying, but I thought that's what it was. That's how fat she is. At least compared to what she was. I thought that she was doing a fat suit bit. That's exactly what I thought. I mean, and then you told me, like, no, that's really her. Like, you know, it's all very horrifying. Hello, Chuck. How can I help you?
Hey, Rick. I know that you're tired of the celebrity blends, but I flashed on one when you started talking about it.
All right.
Okay, imagine this on a show. Somebody saying, you not make it in this business, you skinny bitch. Tyra the Hutt.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right,
there you go. All right, and do a break. We'll come back after this. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll come back.
more wackiness. We'll make more jokes about Tyra Banks and more creepy comments about Sarah's friend Kiki.
Who is Kiki? Is she prettier than me?
Back after this, Sarah.